course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. I don't have any quippy this week. It's been a busy work week, so my brain is a little fried.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So we're setting the stage for a fine episode here. We're laying it out. We're both fried. Just set your bars low, people, and you can only be surprised from here on out. But in this episode, we are reviewing the movie Clown in a Cornfield, which is in theaters now. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
I actually watched the Ugly Stepsister on AMC Plus. I liked it a lot. It was really good. I did not. I maybe I did know, but I kind of forgot that it was in German, like a German movie. But I mean, still, it was fantastic. Some really, really incredible body horror in that. So, and I know we got a screener for it, I believe. But I never got around to watching it, so I was like, "Oh, it's on AMC Plus. Let me give it a gander." And it was pretty solid, I gotta say.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Matter of fact, I didn't watch anything this week. It's been one of those weeks. Still is. We're just bleeding over into the next. So it got nothing for me. So let's move on then to our first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you just that, a cheesy slasher, a low budget film, maybe a non-mainstream film. It's pretty wide in criteria. Just maybe a film that you're not familiar with. And it typically fits in kind of the theme of the episode. And since we are talking clowns today, we present to you the movie Stitches. It was released to a limited theatrical run in the U.S. on April 1st, 2013, and then it was released on physical media the next day. The movie is now available to watch on Shudder, written by Connor McMahon and David O'Brien, directed by Connor McMahon. The movie stars Ross Noble, Tommy Knight, and others, and is described as a clown comes back from the dead to haunt those who took his life during a fatal party mishap. I hate those fatal party mishaps. They're just a bitch. Some trivia on it. The medication in the movie that is is used to relieve anxiety is called Hypnosil. That's the same name as the medication used to suppress dreams in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Quentin Tarantino was offered the part of Stitches, and Mark Hamill came close to being cast in the role. What a different movie it could have been. And Daniel Radcliffe was also offered a movie in the role. Just imagine if one of those guys had got the part of Stitches and Daniel Radcliffe had been in it. I mean, this probably wouldn't be a cheesy slash. We'd be talking something totally different right now. But alas, it's not. I've not seen Stitches. I've heard of it several times. It's come up. I don't know. It's just come up in articles and different things. I've heard the name many times. But I have yet to see the movie Stitches. Have you ever seen it, Ike?
I sure have. I've actually I've seen this movie a couple times. It's a fun little movie. It's British, which I guess would make sense why they maybe offered Daniel Radcliffe a job because he's a British lad. But Stitches is great. It's heavy on the comedy, but it's got some pretty cool like gore and effects, practical effects too for a lot of the stuff that they do. But the party mishap, man, it's a wild little like it's a cold open, and the party mishap's like the first thing you see, and it's pretty intense. But otherwise, it's good. It's a pretty solid like killer clown movie. I mean, as solid as those kinds of movies can be.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, there you have it. There's been lots of clown movies, but we present to you Stitches. And speaking on that subject, let's just go right into our next one. Talk to us, Internet. And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is our next segment. This is the one where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback or simply discuss something that a talking point that we've seen on social media, which is where I kind of pulled this one today. It was a tweet, or I don't know what you call it, an X. I don't know what you call what's. I don't know what the noun form of X when you. What are you doing? Are you you're Xing? I don't know what that means. Anyway, and they were talking about Clown in a Cornfield, and they presented the question is, what is it about clowns that no matter how many movies are made, what is it about them that are just often so scary? Why are people, why are there so many people have a phobia of clowns? They're so scared of clowns. Why are they so presented as villains in movies? What is it about them that are supposed to be these happy, little, fun, joyful characters in theory? But what is it? And this might be, I mean, this is obviously probably not a question that we can blanket answer. I'm sure there's lots of phobias or from, you know, traumatic events in their lives. But why do clowns make good villains in movies, Ike?
Well, I guess the kind of like the base question there is like, why are they scary? Why do people keep putting them in? Because they wouldn't put them in movies if they weren't scary, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that the fear of clowns is threefold. Right. Number one, clowns kind of fall into that uncanny valley that they look human, but they also have a little bit of that uncanniness that with the makeup, the wig, the exaggerated expressions, they almost feel inhuman. Right. Yeah. I would probably say that if I was a psychologist, I'd probably say, you know, anyone that wears makeup like that, it's kind of hard to kind of tell their expressions. And like, as human beings, like we predicate our reactions and our social interactions by other people's, you know, cues and tells, and you can't really read a clown, right? So they're a little unpredictable. So I think that like that's like the psychological perspective as well as like the uncanny valley. And I think the third one is just media portrayal. I think that there is a obviously very significant divide of positive versus negative media portrayal of clowns. So you have a very significant portion of the populace who sees that negative portrayal and they're like, okay, clowns are kind of fucking creepy. And it just wasn't always like that. Clowns used to be entertainers, you know what I mean? So it's certainly a different, it's a weird dynamic because they were entertainers, and then you had all these movies come out in the, you know, 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s that paint clowns as the villain, and now, you know, here we go, now nobody likes clowns. So yeah, at some point somebody said clowns are creepy, that spread into the media like wildfire, and now we're here.
I think there's, again, you can't have a blanket answer with this, right? I mean, some people just have traumatic experiences with clowns in their life, right? That scare them. I think some of this even stems back that once upon a time, I would venture to guess even that it stems back to that fact that clowns at one point were very popular nursery decorating items, right? And yeah, that maybe to, you know, hey, and to a young child in the dark, not knowing what's what, trying to figure things out in this wild world, having, you know, clowns watch over you in the darkness while you sleep could be a little creepy. I think a lot of it stems to the fact that if you go back in time, clown costumes, once upon a time when costumes and makeup and everything was not quite as advanced as it is now, just clowns and many costumes in general were very creepy looking. If you go back and look at old pictures, I mean, even when you go, you know, go back to Mickey Mouse masks and stuff, they were creepy looking because just you couldn't, you know, technology was not to a point where you could produce something to quite get that cartoon effect. So clowns looked just a little more creepy. And I think that some of those people who were kids during that time period when the clowns were much more scary looking than what, you know, certain time period they were, some of those people probably went on to make movies and say, you know what, clowns always scared me because they look creepy. So I'm going to make the clowns scary. I think there's that. There is that whole thing with, somebody who's hiding behind a mask or makeup or whatever it is there's something creepy about that. This double life, this double, who is this person behind? You don't know who's behind the mask. Gacy, was a clown performer. You don't know who's behind the clown makeup. You don't know. And so there's that inherent, clowns, that once upon time, people just would trust clowns. They were your friends. They're funny characters. And you know what? There were some clowns doing some unscrupulous things under that guise of a clown. So I don't know. I it's weird. I have this love-hate relationship with clowns, right? Because I think clowns make great villains. They don't scare me. Clowns in and of themselves don't scare me. Just the sight of a clown does not scare me.
Right.
But I think they make great villains when done right, when presented right. Part of it for me is that it's almost in like an oxymoron, right? This bright, colorful, goofy-looking character that is sinister and deadly, that works for me. I like that. I always like that dichotomy. And it's not just with clowns, with any kind of characters, right? That does not look like something you should be fearful of, but when it is, I like that because it's striking. But on the same hand, there's plenty of clowns that pop culture clowns that I love in my life, Ronald McDonald and Bozo the Clown and things that I've always loved in my entire life and I have warm memories of. So it's very weird. I guess I can just embrace a clown in all of its many, many facets. But it's funny that there's so many people that you hear that, right? That just hate clowns. And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't, again, there's not just one answer to this. And it's a peculiar thing. But I'd be curious to see. I would have to say that's one of the most widespread phobias out there, I would think, right? I mean, it
It's got to
seems.
be up there.
Yeah, I would think, right? That was, snakes and spiders. I mean, you hear snakes and spiders and clowns. I mean, you hear those a lot. And I don't know, it's weird. But I don't know. It works for me. Like I said, I don't have an innate fear of clowns, but they do work as villains for me. I never get tired of
Right.
it. And and I don't know. Again, it's maybe that stri like I said, it's just that striking ness of it, right? Is it something that should look fun and goofy, but it's actually deadly? Is I like that. It makes a good villain for me. So yeah, there you go. So if we're sorry if you're afraid of clowns. This is not going to be a good episode for you. We're talking a lot about clowns, so
That we are.
that's right. So all right, then let's go on to the next segment. Horror hot take. And this episode, we have a horror hot take. We were going to do a two truths and an AI, but we couldn't get that produced quick enough. So we're falling back onto the horror hot take. This is where Ike, or I, but it's pretty much always been Ike. No, pretty much it has always been Ike, I think, has presented a horror hot take. Probably, a somewhat or over the top strong opinion on something horror related. So, Ike, do you have a horror hot take for this episode?
I surely do.
All right, then. What is your horror hot take?
All right. So, a little bit of a trend actually on TikTok, and it's actually very timely for the movie that we're reviewing today. A lot of people went and saw Clown in Cornfield over the weekend, and a lot of people are going on TikTok, or also people who, saw the movie early, and they're going on TikTok and X and everything else. And I've seen this a lot. Not sure if it's just my feed for some reason, but I see a lot of people saying that Clown in the Cornfield is like beginner horror, right? And they mean that like derogatorily, right? They're like, oh, this is beginner shit. This is first level stuff. This, that, and the other. And like, so what I have to say, and my hot take is that perhaps even if that is the case, even if it is beginner horror, even if that is, the strategy or the phrasing that, we want to use, if that's what we want to call Clown in a Cornfield, who fucking cares? Everyone needs a gateway into horror, right? For me, it was Goosebumps. I'm not going to tell you that Goosebumps is the scariest thing on earth, But I would still argue that Goosebumps is, to some relative degree, a form of horror. You know, same thing with, you know, people who got their first introduction to horror by reading books, you know, whether it be Goosebumps Again or Fear Street or, you know, Are You Afraid of the Dark or Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It doesn't matter, right? Even if we were to classify Clown in the Cornfield as weak horror or, you know, introductory horror or beginner horror, that doesn't mean that the movie can't be good and also be a good gateway for people to, you know, get into this. Not only that, but this is a young adult novel, right? This book is meant for a young adult audience. Now, it was made into a rated R movie because the book is quite graphic, honestly, for a young adult novel. But still, this is still, you know, it's made into be a, of course, you know, rated R movie. So I guess my hot take might be that who cares if it's beginner horror? You can still enjoy beginner horror. I love Terrifier. Terrifier, I would not recommend Terrifier to a beginner, right? Terrifier is perhaps my favorite horror movie franchise, but I would not go up to somebody who's never watched a horror movie and say, yo, you should watch Terrifier. Because that is a sure as fuck way to get somebody to never watch a horror movie again. Because they're going to watch some pretty depraved, fucked up shit in that movie, and they're never going to want to watch a horror movie again. And for that purpose alone, we do need movies that are not terrifying. We need movies that are like Clown in the Cornfield, like the original Halloween, that are a little more on the spooky side, maybe a little bit pushing on the not as brutal side of things, even though Clown in the Cornfield was still pretty brutal. You know, it's okay for movies not to go absolute balls to the walls with these types of things because we still need media that is for the broader audience. So my ending little thought there is that for people out there who are shitting on Clown in the Cornfield saying that it's beginner horror or this, that, and the other, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Just watch it. Watch it if you want. Watch it if you don't. That's all I got to say.
Okay. I'm gonna try to keep this brief because I could talk for hours on this.
Same.
This fucking all goes back to this stupid ass motherfucking machismo fucking gatekeeping shit. And I'm so fucking tired of this shit. I'm so fucking tired of, and this isn't everything. This is in fandoms. And guys, you know what? We put the language thing, whatever you call it, the warning up here. I know we don't mince words, but I'm letting loose here. Fuck this. Here's my fucking thing with this, right? Fucking go fucking fall on a seatless bicycle and fucking screw yourself. Here's the thing. I don't give a shit. First of all, the term beginning horror, fuck you. That's stupid. That is a dumb ass fucking term. Here's the thing. Not every horror movie has got to be over the top fucking gore. Every horror movie does not have to be over the top fucking elevated horror. Fuck you. There, you know what? There needs to be some horror movies. There needs to be lots of horror movies that are just fucking general fun. We're going to get to our review of this movie, but if someone who is not a diehard horror fan can go into this fucking movie and enjoy it and come out and say, hey, that was pretty cool, then that's a fucking win. You're right. That I don't give a shit if it, what you want to call it. If someone sees a horror movie who's not a diehard horror fan, who does not get into your quote-unquote elevated, gory, this is real horror shit, and they liked it, then that is a good fucking thing. People need to get off their fucking selves and get over this. Because the fact of the matter is, I want fucking everybody in this goddamn world to watch horror movies. Why? Because the more people that watch it, the more money it makes, the more horror movies we get for everybody. Whatever you like, you're going to get it because more people need to watch it. So therefore, there needs to be horror movies for just normal, general people, not us fuckups that just like to see lots of blood and gore and kills. Okay? Yes, I love gore. I love blood. I love all that. That doesn't mean I can't appreciate this fucking movie, and we'll talk about that. Because this movie... And it's a fucking horror movie. It's not beginning horror. It's not, fuck, it's just a horror movie. If you want to label it as anything else, you're just being fucking stupid. And you're just trying to gatekeep something that you think should be only for you. I got news for you. If you think it's only for you, it's gonna fucking dry up and go away because your stupid ass is not gonna keep this business afloat. So get over it. And these movies aren't made for just you. No one's gonna make a movie for Bob in Iowa because he thinks it's fucking not beginner horror. So we gotta make fucking Bob happy. Fuck you, Bob. You're not that important. And it's just I hate this shit. I don't care. I don't care if you don't want to watch Clown in a Cornfield. If you watch the trailer or hear the description or whatever it is and you think, nah, this is not a movie I would like, nobody cares. Nobody fucking cares that you don't
Nobody
want to watch
else.
this movie. Nobody fucking cares it's not for you. So just don't watch it. If you don't think it's your type of horror, then just don't go. Why can't you be happy though that someone may want to see this movie? Why can't you just appreciate that, hey, some young adults that have read the book can be over the top happy that now they get a movie version and may look at this and say, you know what? I really like that. Maybe I should go watch something else. Maybe I should go watch some classics. Maybe I should dig a little deeper. Maybe there's something else out there I like. Why is that not a win? Why is that not the best thing for horror as a genre? No, this thing is not just made for one person or a small group of people or anything. It is there's different types, there's different flavors for lots of people. There's types I don't like or I don't care for. And that's okay. I either don't watch them or I watch it once and say, eh, not for me, move on. And I rewatch and watch the stuff I like. But here's the thing, because here's the next step in this process. The next step is, oh, if you're a fan of Clown in a Cornfield, you're not a real horror fan.
Yep.
Really? Why not? I mean, what? I mean, come on. No one's gonna say Clown in a Cornfield's a fucking, whatever kids movie. It's a horror movie. So again, I don't care if someone hates Terrifier, loves Clown in a Cornfield. They got just as much right to call themselves a horror fan as I do. I don't care if this is their first horror movie and they fall in love with it and this breaks that ice and they're going to go watch more and watch more. Or someone like me who's watched it for many years. I don't care. They're just as much a horror fan as I am. There's no fucking, like, we don't have ranks in this shit. We don't fucking rack up points and get patches like the fucking Scouts. There's not, I mean, get over yourself. You're not more important than this other person that likes this movie. I don't give two shits. I mean, I cannot. And I never will. And again, this happens with so much stuff. I cannot understand this kind of thinking. I don't. I just don't. I mean, why are there? Are I mean, are these people that self-absorbed that they think that their opinion's more important than someone else's opinion? Why? Because they've watched more horror. Well, who cares? What's that? What does that matter? I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around. I cannot see the justification in this.
To me, and obviously I don't want to go too long on this, but to me, what it is that people want to feel superior. They want to say, "Oh, you thought that was bad. Well, I'm gonna one up you. I watch this." You know what I mean? And it's just, yeah, like you said, you worded it
It's
perfectly.
what it is these fucking people don't have enough self-worth in their life that they got to try to find it somewhere. I'm sorry if that hurts somebody, but you're not self. You're not happy enough with yourself. I have my passions. I have my loves. I don't find my worth in them though.
Exactly.
I don't find my worth in how many fucking horror movies I can rattle off. That's not what my worth is. That's just what my interests are. What my passions are. It doesn't define me. It's a characteristic of me. It's a part of me. But you could take it away, and I'm still me. That doesn't change who I am as a person. I mean, if you're so think so little of yourself that if you take away your quote unquote knowledge and quote unquote rank of horror movies and you've got nothing left, man, that's a problem with you.
Exactly.
You need to find something else in your life to be happy about. You and I don't mean this to be derogatory, but man, you need to work on yourself. And I'm not saying don't be proud of your passions. I'm not saying don't be passionate about it. But if you're truly passionate about something, you want to share it. That's the way I am. I mean, if I'm passionate about something, I drive everybody I know up a wall because all I want to do is talk to them about it. All I want to do is share clips and videos of them. All I want to do is just beg them and bug them to try to watch what I watch just because I'm passionate. I want to share it. I want what I love. I want them to see what I like. And it, you know, that. Again, I'm not going to go on because, man, I could literally talk for hours. I get so fucking tired of this shit. And I'm going to be frank, man. If you're listening to this and if you feel scorned or you feel like I've stepped on your toes, okay, then you probably deserved it. I'm sorry. Because if this is hitting close to you, then take a look at yourself. And
Yep.
I'm sorry, we're not big. We don't have this huge following. But if that's what you think and that's how you approach it, I don't know what you're seeing in us. I because man, that ain't how we view it at all. I mean, we're you know, I Monica all the time fucking gets on to me about, you know what? You're too positive. I'm like, what the fuck's that mean? How are you too positive? It's like, well, you never talk badly in movies. Well, it's because, all right, well,
I like most movies.
yeah, it's like I can find something. And you know, it's like I don't get that, you know. So I'm sorry if you're looking for that fucking get off my lawn, yell at the clouds kind of shit about this. Yeah, I don't know why you listen to us, because
Right.
the only thing that we fucking yell at the clouds about is you. So I'm sorry, but anyway, I don't want to talk more because it'll start just seeping. Number one, like I said, I could just ramble forever. Number two, it'll start seeping into our review later. So.
True.
And some of those thoughts, because I got more to say about that well, later. So, and just keep that in mind, right? We'll just lay that foundation. I'm a guy who for decades has watched horror movies, and I watched a shit ton of horror movies, and I've watched all kinds of horror movies, and I've watched horror movies that I thought have gone too far, and I've watched horror movies that other people thought have gone too far. And I thought, ooh, maybe I'm a little fucked up because I like that, and I don't, you know, what people, other people are saying, ooh, that's too much. You know, I mean, I watched some of those news making killer scenes from Terrifier, and I thought, Eve, I don't think those are as bad as people were saying. Maybe that's a reflection on me. So I'm just saying, keep all that in mind, all you gatekeeping type people, and think whatever. Just keep that in mind when I talk about Clown in a Cornfield later. And you know what? Just prepare to have your fucking panties blown off because, all right, let me take a break, and I don't have any alcohol nearby. I probably should have. If I'd known Ike was bringing this hot take, I would have had some alcohol nearby. But let's take a break. Let me calm down. And when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So, good news to start us off. Eli Roth is set to direct a remake of 1995's Ice Cream Man. It should be released in theaters the second quarter of 2026. I've never seen Ice Cream Man myself. I know what it is, what it's about. But Eli Roth can make whatever he wants, and I will 100% watch it. That's really all there is to it.
Man, Ice Cream Man's fun. And all here's what my only opinion on this at all, because you know what, I am I you know I sometimes have the opinion that certain movies shouldn't be remade. I don't think Ice Cream Man's that right. It's not so perfect it should be remade. I get it, right? But if Eli Roth doesn't put Clint Howard in some form of a cameo in this movie, what is he even doing then? You know, I mean, Clint Howard should have cameos in all the movies. I love Clint Howard. But he is the ice cream man. So, you know, you gotta throw him in there somewhere. But no, I'm excited about this. I think this is again, we talk about unheralded movies. I think this is one of them. So I'm looking forward to I'm hoping that, again, that people enjoy this, and I'm hoping they enjoy it enough that they'll go back and watch the original as well, because it's a fun movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But good stuff. And yeah, I did know Clint Howard was in that. I did know that, so I do hope he's in this one too. So, maybe like a little, like you said,
Love me,
like.
Clint Howard. I tell you what. But of course, I will be biased because Clint Howard was in the Ramones movie, the Rock and Roll High School. So I mean, so yeah, if you're in that fucking movie, yeah, you're on my Mount Rushmore. So no, I like Clint Howard, man. Who else? I mean, Ron Howard is like fucking Hollywood gold. And who else can say you're a wacky brother of Ron Howard?
True. Oh man.
Gotta love it. Man, Clint Howard's that scrappy guy that scrappy underdog brother that I like, man. That. Yeah,
It's funny.
he ain't making
Well,
Happy Days money.
I was gonna say he's not making, I mean, I'm sure he makes decent money, but it is funny because you're like, oh shit, his brother, oh fuck, his brother's Ron Howard. Like, what? And you know, Ron Howard's pretty well known, so that's funny,
Yeah,
but
Clint, I don't think, I don't know. I'm not a Ron Howard guy per se, but I don't think Clint Howard gets spots in all of Ron Howard's movies. So it's not like he's, leeching off the bro there, so
right. No, what do they call that? The when your parent, or sibling or relative is higher than you, nepotism. You're like,
nepotism. I don't
he's
know
not
what
a.
Ron Howard was doing in 1995, but I bet it was something bigger than Ice Cream Man.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
So
Oh,
Clint
Lord.
Howard's like, "Fuck you, Ron. I'm going to do Ice Cream Man." And God
Lord.
bless him, I'd rather watch Clint Howard. No offense to Ron, but
Yeah, I've not really seen much of Ron, but I mean, I'm sure he's perfectly great at whatever he does. He's a director.
he's a director. Oh, fucking big time. Oh, come on. You look at those credentials. Shit. You've seen some Ron Howard. I mean, these are fucking big award-winning movies that Ron Howard does. I mean, Ron Howard's like he's like the gold. I mean, we're talking here, let me see here. A Beautiful Mind, Apollo 13. I'm just scrolling through a few here. What I want to see is what I want to see what Ron Howard was doing in 1995. Let me see if I can see what Ron Howard was doing in 1995. Wait a minute,
He
where's
made Apollo 13 in 95 with
See, come
the
on, Apollo 13. First of all, Apollo 13 was a great fucking movie. That's so
that
that's
is a good movie.
that
I
is like
have
one.
seen
Yeah, that's one of
that.
my favorite Tom Hanks movies. I love, but I'm a, I like space, the space program shit. I like that kind of shit. I love Apollo 13, but that was a big ass movie. Big ass movie. That's what Ron Howard was directing in 1995 while his brother was making Ice Cream Man.
Oh man.
I want to know what those family dinners are like.
I'm sure those got to be fun. I mean, come on. But all right. Enough about the Howards. This isn't the Howards podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Nah.
But no, absolutely. Ice Cream
I
Man
couldn't carry that one.
2026. No, I couldn't either. But the Ice Cream Man 2026, keep an eye out. Hopefully we'll get some cool stuff as we get a little closer, but
I'd watch anything
the
Eli Roth does, though.
I was gonna say Eli Roth attached to it. That's money. But all right. Moving on to Hard Eyes is now available on Netflix. We do have a whole review of this, so I won't go into too much. It was a pretty decent little slasher flick for Valentine's Day. And I think we gave it generally positive reviews. So yeah. Give it a check, watch our review as well. It's on Netflix now.
Yeah, and I mean, it is not the caviar of horrors. So if you're into that shit, they're not gonna like it. Fuck. Hard Eyes was fun. You know what? Is it perfect? No, but it's a fun little watch. I like that. But we're partial, right, man? We like the holiday horror, and I like that shit. So it's enjoyable. I'll give it a rewatch. I mean, especially since. I don't remember a lot about it, honestly. To be fair, but I like holiday horror.
I was gonna say I have a pretty good recollection of it just because like that's like my superpowers. I remember a lot of shit about movies and TV shows. Anything else, it's fucking game over. But
Yeah, I remember enough, but I was trying to think how it ended because I seems like I don't want I'm not gonna get spoilers here, but I seem like that was maybe our biggest qualm was maybe the ending. Was that right?
I'm trying to remember. I think so, because they didn't
I
leave
feel like it had a
open-ended.
it had a predictable type ending, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, fuck, whatever. Just go watch it. And you tell us what you
Absolutely.
think.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it was partly because it was predictable and because they didn't leave it open enough in some way, or they left it too open. I don't remember. But there was some issue with the ending. I just don't remember what now.
This has got the guy that was in the Scream movies, right? I can't think of his name. Mason Gooding, right? Cuba's kid.
Yes,
Yeah, that's right.
that is
Okay.
it.
I remember. Okay, yeah. Some of it's come. It's like I don't remember the specifics of the ending. I don't know why we're spending so much time talking about Hard Eyes, but
Who knows?
let's move on. Let's move on. You got me like on just I'm like on the edge of my seat, fired up now. I just want to fucking just rant on everything now.
Right? Yeah. Got him amped up. His adrenaline's pumping.
I am.
He's
I mean, like
next.
literally everything. I'm just gonna blast those assholes that do that shit. Everything. Go watch
Well,
Hard
we
Eyes. It was fun. If you're a fucking gatekeeper, though, don't.
right, that's exactly what I was gonna say. But unless you're an asshole, don't watch it.
That's how everything
But
I say today is gonna be. If you're a gatekeeper, don't. Fuck you.
all right, we're gonna move on. Well, yeah, this one could fall into that category too, because
Yes.
people shit on these movies also. But the first trailer and poster has been released for The Conjuring: Last Rites. The movie is coming to theaters on September 5th, and I think this looks really great. I watched the trailer. I think it's going to be super spooky. I think it's going to follow a similar formula to some of the other movies. I don't think it's going to be anything groundbreaking, but supposedly this is an adaptation of the Warrens' Last Case that
Yeah,
they
the last
did,
case.
and I think that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I thought the trailer looked it looked fun, man. It was I mean, I'm always fascinated when they show the room, right? That the room with all the whatever you want to call them, artifacts or whatever you want to call it. I'm always trying to watch for stuff in that room. And there's a pretty good shot in the trailer of that room. It's I'm here and saying I love like Supernatural, not the show, but Supernatural type movies, right? And possession type movies and this and that and blah blah blah. But yeah, do the Conjurings after a while. I like them all, but they're not, it's like are they breaking ground each one? No, but why, do they need to? No. I mean, come on, they made whatever, 50 Friday the 13th. How many of those broke grounds? And I love them. I mean, come on, what the hell? They don't I think they're fun, but I think I don't know, man. Just watching this trailer, I think this one looks like it. I know it's hard to tell from 2 minutes of a trailer, but
Right.
I think this might be the funnest one they've done in a while.
I think so. I think some of the other ones were a little too narrow, a little too focused on things like I think like the nun and all that stuff, which is fine, but I think that going a little broader would be better. So,
But remember, we talked, everybody, that hey, this might be the end of the Conjuring movies, but not in the end of the Conjuring universe.
universe, yeah.
So don't mistake that. They're not shutting the door on this universe. It's just this mainline Conjuring movie, so.
Absolutely. I've actually heard that this is just the end of phase one, is what the
That's right.
rumor is. So, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll keep an eye out for more stuff to come out, because again, this is still all the way out in September, so I'm sure we'll get another trailer or two between now and then.
And by the way, if you're a gatekeeper, just fuck you. Don't worry about it. Just
Exactly. Don't even watch trailer.
stay home and watch your fucking Human Centipede or whatever it is you watch. I don't know.
Right, yeah, Human Centipede, or what the fuck, the there's another big one that they always talk
Well,
about.
I just feel like gatekeepers have they can relate to Human Centipede because they pretty much have their heads up their own asses, so
Fair. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I'm
But
sorry, I've
all
told
right.
you. I'm fired up now.
He's fired up. But all right. We're going to move on to some upcoming, well, an upcoming birthday. It's a pretty cool one. May 20th, 1978. Mike Flanagan, known for his directing and creation of things like Dr. Sleep, Hush, Oculus, as well as a shit ton of Netflix shows like Fall of the House of Usher,
The upcoming
what
Carrie, right? And
upcoming
it,
Carrie,
yeah, that's
yeah.
him doing that. And he's got some other things coming up. He's got, man, what is it? Man, he must love Stephen King because I think there's something else he's doing Stephen King related before Carrie. I don't, it escapes me. But I feel like he's got something coming out pretty soon that's an adaptation of something Stephen King. I don't know if it's a movie or a show. I mean, there's, Dr. Sleep. I mean, this, that. Man, he must really like Stephen King.
I was gonna say him and Steve might be having a little talky talk on the side. They're
Smart
like,
man.
"Hey,
Smart man. I love some Stephen King too.
let's see, upcoming." So, well, he just did Life of Chuck, which
Oh yeah,
is
that's what it was. Oh, so it's
June
already out.
6th or June 6th. I'm
There you
sorry.
go. Yeah, that's what it was. His life of, yeah. And again, I'm
But
not
yeah,
sure. I'm not sure what that is. I just saw something about it coming out. So I
I'll
don't
I'll be.
know, man. Stephen King churns out so much stuff, it's hard to keep up.
It kind of is. I was gonna say he literally does so much, but yeah, no. Life of Chuck has a shit ton of people in it, so I won't get sidetracked. But it looks good. But all right, moving on. Happy birthday, Mike! Upcoming movie anniversary is here, May 15th, 1981. Happy birthday to me! I've never seen this movie, but I know we've talked about it before.
Creepy.
But campy, right? It's a kind of a campy movie. Is that right?
Yeah, that's creepy. I think it was remade too at some point in time. But yeah, this has got the one of the actresses that was in Little House on the Prairie that played like the older sister, the older English sister. She's in this, and it's not only is it kind of creepy and whatever else, but it's creepy even creepier because it's her, right? It's like that she's played this, Ingalls kid character for so many years, and it's weird to see her in, not weird, weird's not the right word, striking to see her in the something. So I love it. It's a great movie. Very fun. Very,
Absolutely.
very creepy. Yeah, I mean it's kind of your typical early 80s horror type movie, but it's definitely worth a watch.
Absolutely. We'll have to give that a watch sometime because, like you said, I like a good 80s horror movie. You can't beat the cheese that comes with 80s.
And I think it was remade. Like I said, I don't know when, but I'm pretty sure they remade that. I could be wrong, but I feel like they've remade it. So,
I'm sure they remake most of these movies.
sure.
But all right, moving on to our other anniversary for this week. We have May 17th, 2024, The Strangers, Chapter One, which, speaking of, there's a trailer out for Chapter Two. I
Yeah,
recently
yeah, yeah.
I saw Clown of Cornfield, and there was a trailer before that one at my theater
Yeah.
for this. And I mean, it looks decent. It looks like a solid follow-up, a little creepy, So I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
And this is a good movie.
I mean, and I'm pretty sure we reviewed this one.
We
It
did.
it's one of those that it was a tough movie to rate and to judge because I still hold that the original Strangers was better than Chapter One, right?
Right.
But there's also they knew they were going to do a trilogy, and Chapter One's kind of the movie they had to make to kick that trilogy off. So it's like Chapter One, I think there's some weaknesses. Again, just because I love the original so much, I think it's such a great movie. It fucking creeped me out. I mean, no shit, as an adult slept with the lights on that night that I watched it.
Same. Not an
Yeah,
adult, but
but but I won't hold the entire trilogy to any weakness I could perceive for Chapter One because I think, again, it's they had to make it, right? It's the movie they had to make to establish. And if you've not seen the original, then I'm sure this was probably even better than that. But I don't think it's as good as the original Strangers. But with that said, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing two and three. It's like it's, I don't know. There's parts that I. It's almost like this mixed emotion because it's like that creepiness, that unknown from the strangers is what really irked me, and it's like I don't want them to dig too far into these people, but it's like but I don't know. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna go open mind. I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know. Maybe they won't. Who knows? It's
right.
like I don't want to see the under the mask. I don't want to know about these people, and so it's like. I'm kind of scared in a different way.
He's scared.
I'm
Is it safe?
scaled.
Is it safe? Have you ever seen the Clerks animated?
Yeah, I love
There's that scene where he's like, "Is it safe?"
Yeah.
But no, that's a really obscure reference if you guys have never seen
It's a whole
Clerks
nother side
animated.
discussion with how they pulled off making a Clerks animated.
That's a fever dream. I'm not gonna get on that because I can talk about that a lot too. But
Let's
anyways.
just say Jay and Silent Bob are not dealing pot, they're dealing fireworks. It just makes me laugh just saying it. Oh,
Because they
God.
couldn't put pot in a cartoon, I guess.
Bless you, Kevin Smith. I
But
love
yeah,
it, man. I
yo.
love the Clerks animated. I still got my DVDs up here. I'm looking at them right now on the shelf. Love them. Good stuff.
That's truly an underrated masterpiece if you've
It
never
is.
seen it.
Oh, it
It's
is.
amazing.
So good. So
I'm gonna
funny.
watch that now. But
All right.
anywho, moving on. Also, if you don't like the Strangers or your gatekeeper, go fuck yourself.
That's right.
Just had to
If
slip
you don't like
that
the Clerks animated because you think it's beginner Kevin Smith, then just
in
fuck you.
there. There's no such thing as beginner Kevin Smith. All right, Kevin Smith just he just throws you into the lake of fire, man. It's that all his stuff is so weird.
Yeah, I don't even know what. Yeah, I don't know. If the, I don't. Yeah, I don't think there's anything you could call beginner.
Maybe Clerks.
God, Clark's a
Maybe.
masterpiece, though. Mwah!
I love Clerks.
Whew, never get tired of it.
But again, this is not a Kevin Smith podcast, although we could
No.
probably do a Kevin Smith
Yes,
podcast.
we very much could. Yeah, but
But
that's not this one.
nope, not today. Not today. But all right, that does it for our anniversary. So we're going to talk about a couple of upcoming releases. We have The Ritual starring Al Pacino coming to theaters on June 6th. The story is based on the real events that inspired The Exorcist. It is described as when the church sanctions the exorcism of Emma Schmidt, two priests divided by doubt must confront a force beyond comprehension and their own faith. I am a huge fan of possession movies, and I love The Exorcist, despite some of its flaws. And I think that The Ritual looks very fantastic. I saw a trailer for it again before Clown in the Cornfield, and I think it looks pretty solid.
Yeah, man, here's my thing. They make so many possession exorcist type movies, exorcism type movies. And it's just so hard to have something that jumps out and jump, grabs your attention, right? And sets it apart because, it seems like they're all the same, very similar. They seem like they all have Russell Crowe in them anymore. But when you got what number one, you got Al Pacino in. Okay, that sets that apart, right? Al Pacino, great actor, right? I mean, that's a grab. But you have me. I don't care who's in it with the based on the real events that inspired The Exorcist. I'm good. I'll watch it because I love The Exorcist, right? And that's I love it. I love The Exorcist. So anything kind of spawning out of those same events. Okay, I'll watch that. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to this one, right? There's Again, there's been so many of them, and it's like I have trouble. And when I first saw the ritual with Al Pacino about exorcism, I'm like, oh my gosh, another one. What is this? But like I said, there's a few things there that set it apart. But I don't know. I guess Russell Crowe wasn't available on this one.
Yeah, they're like, "Hey, Ross, can you fill in?" And they're like, no, hit him out." And they got our boy Al Pacino.
I don't know what Russell Crowe's I don't know, but his thing with exorcism movies are just, I guess, I don't know if he bought the clergy garb, the outfit, and whatever on his own dime and thinks he's got to get his mouth. I don't know. No, I don't know. But
Gotta get his money worth on that.
I say
But
that, but he was like a two. I mean, it was just to be real.
They were so close together.
I
That
know. That's
that's
what was
what's
weird.
weird.
And they weren't related. It's not like one was a sequel to the other or anything. It was just.
No, completely disconnected, separate franchises, the whole nine. So
Whatever. But no,
but yeah.
I think this one has a chance to stand out a little from the recent pack.
I think so too. I think this one has a chance. Especially compared to, like you said, some of the other stuff. But all right, moving on to our other upcoming release. Final Destination Bloodlines is coming to theaters on May 16th. It is described as plagued by reoccurring violent nightmare. A college student returns home to find the one person who can break the cycle and save her family from the horrific fate that inevitably awaits them. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Obviously, Dave and I are huge Final Destination fans. We talk about how much those movies are, just how fantastic they are and just how great they were for being 2000s horror movies, and how I think that they're often overlooked in some ways as serious, serious horror flicks. But this movie also has our dearly departed friend of the show, actual friend of the show. I'm just kidding. We've never met this man before in our lives.
No, I actually have, though. No, I actually have.
Oh, yeah, I guess you have. You've met him, like, at a convention or something.
Believe it or not, at a Star Trek convention. Yeah. Because he also...
Anyways,
He played a Klingon in Star Trek. So he was, that's
oh,
why he.
I was about to ask, was he actually like in Star Trek?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And yeah, so I actually met him there, but it was very creepy hearing his voice.
But of course, we're talking about none other than the legend Tony Todd. But yeah, he's in this movie. I don't know, is this his last movie?
This is it.
Like,
this is his last work. Yeah, so it's,
wow.
Oof. That's a little surreal, but. Yeah, I think Final Destination falls victim to the so many sequels thing, right? There's so many out there, so people, I don't know. I think that's why they knock it, I guess. I don't know. But those people, I don't think they appreciate what specifically the first one, how impactful, how, I don't know, man. It was so different for that time when it came out. It was unique. And it's just, I mean, I love it. I love, it's almost like watching a Saw movie, right? You want to watch to see how they work the kills, what, how they're, you know, even if the, I don't, it's like, even if the story's bad, it's like, it's not okay. It's all right. You just want to, you want to see how the unique kills they do. And we've talked about in recent years, the marvelous marketing ploys that like Smile did, right? With the people at baseball games and this and that. Well, Final Destination Bloodlines is taking it this year, because have you seen that there are actual logging trucks out there that have banners about Final Destination Bloodlines on them?
Yes, I saw that and I was like, that's fucking amazing.
That is knowing your work right there, because anybody who has watched Final Destination at all, if you're on the road and you see a truck of logs, you're going to immediately think of that. There's just no way. That's what you're going to think of. And they know that, and they have leaned in, and that's brilliant. I would love to see one out on the road myself. So I don't know if it's just in certain parts of the country. I'm not that sure. I'm not that familiar with it, but it's genius. That's genius. And there's other things. Obviously, billboards that look like that look like people fell off the billboard or off the ladder on the billboard and are hanging and stuff like that. I mean, just all, I mean, just brilliant, brilliant marketing. And I can't wait for this movie. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've had a Final Destination movie. And it's one of those deals, you know, it's like you let it cool off for a bit, and then it's exciting when it comes back. And so I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. And just for anyone who's curious, there has been a last Final Destination movie was in 2011, so this is a 14-year gap in the two films. So, I think that if they're gonna make a movie, it's 14 years is long enough to forget what anything that's happened before. So, we'll have to watch it. Obviously, that's what we're gonna review next week. So, keep an eye out next week for our official review. Hopefully it doesn't. You know, usher out our expectations or anything like that, but we'll see what happens.
As long as they have some fun kills in there, I'll at least enjoy that much of it.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I don't imagine that I won't enjoy this movie to some degree. It's just going to be, how does it hold up to the other Final Destination movie?
Yeah, unlike some people, I'm not going in expecting some magnificent story. I'm like, just entertain me a little bit with some cool kills and I'm good.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
And if you don't agree, go fuck yourself.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our official review of A Clown in the Cornfield. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to the Go Fuck Yourself edition of the Listen to the Screams podcast. Apparently, that's what we're doing today. But we are reviewing Clown in a Cornfield. It's time for the main event. Clown in a Cornfield was written by Carter Blanchard and Eli Craig, based on a book by Adam. Is it Caesar? Ike, is that how you say it? Caesar?
Yeah, Adam Caesar. Yeah. I keep wanting to say Cesare or Caesar or something like that.
Well, the movie is directed by Eli Craig, starring Katie Douglas, Aaron Abrams. I know an Aaron Abrams. Carson McCormick and others, not this one. The movie was released May 9th in theaters, and it grossed $3,648,991 domestically. Good for number 5 for opening weekend, which is not bad considering some of the movies that are out there right now. There's still some powerhouse movies that are still performing, you know, Minecraft, blah, 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 others. So, you know, coming in at number 5 for a movie like this, that's not bad. And you know what? Here, let's do something different, right? I usually ramble first and take up all the things, and you come on with a lot of, I agree, and make feel. You talk about Clown in the Cornfield first. How about that?
All right, boys.
Especially since you've read the book, so you come in. You're coming with a little deeper vantage point than I am.
Absolutely, and here's what I'm going to do. What I'm going to say, the book is ultimately better than the movie. But for point of reference, to me, the book's a 5 out of 5. Like that, the book is just amazing. It touches on every cliche trope of horror, and it is a very fun read. I just couldn't stop reading it. So that, for that point of reference, the book is fantastic. I love the book and I love the movie. Specifically with Clown in a Cornfield, it is exactly what it sounds like. There's a clown in a cornfield, and that's just the whole movie. No, I'm just kidding. Clown in a Cornfield accomplishes being a true to form 80s inspired slasher. Because what better killer than a clown, a killer clown? So a couple things that I really wanted to talk about when I was gearing up for this whole conversation is that I had to look at this movie as just the movie, not the book, because I love the book so much, and the movie is very different than the book. So I have to keep in mind that this was a inspiration, not a shot-for-shot remake. And I have to say that I loved it. I loved a lot of this movie. I loved a lot of what they did. The scenery was exactly how I pictured it from the book. It being, you know, like a Midwest town, Kettle Springs. It is exactly what I imagined. A lot of the actors did a fantastic job playing the roles of the characters. There is a small exception for that, and I'll talk about that here in just a second. There are two actors who I think, frankly, should have switched roles, and I'll talk about that in a second. But before I talk about that, everybody else did fantastic. I think that the best casting out of everybody in this was Aaron Abrams. Aaron Abrams played the father, Glenn Maybrook, who he's exactly what I pictured in the book. Like, shot for shot, there is not a single thing he did. Like, he was Glenn Maybrook. Like the book, that is exactly who I think of when I think of Glenn. With Glenn,
he was the father.
Yeah,
he was hilarious.
He was, because in the book he's kind of like a neurotic mess, and he was a neurotic mess in the movie, and it was hilarious. All the kids, I think, were generally well casted. I think that Quinn was actually really, really well you know, casted. I think all of her friends were pretty well casted. Cole was here or there. He was pretty good. And then the other friend, Rust, I thought that he was pretty well casted as well for the most part. But before I get on to the two people I think who should have been casted differently, the storyline, of course, it was very easy to follow. It was pretty comprehensible. It was not so far removed from the book that I was lost. And as somebody, you know, if I put myself in the shoes of somebody who's never read the book, very easy to follow, in my opinion. Pretty straightforward storyline, really. And it's got a nice little reveal at the end about, you know, what's actually going on in the town. And it just had an appropriate amount of gore. You know, we were talking a lot earlier about how a lot of people complained that this was beginner horror because, you know, we weren't seeing all this really fucked up shit. Even though there was still a lot of messed up stuff, the decapitation, lots of blood, and, you know, very creative methods in which to kill people. So very, very solid. Now, the one issue I had, the character who played Arthur Hill, Cole Hill's dad, was a guy named Kevin Durand. And the guy who played Sheriff Dunn was a guy named Will Sasso. Everyone knows, I think people know who Will Sasso is.
Yeah.
In the book, Arthur Hill is described as being sort of like an unshapely man. He's kind of out of shape. And Sheriff Dunn is sort of this tall, muscular, imposing character. Now, Kevin Durand is a bodybuilder in real life. He's built. I think that they had to purposely clothe him in a way that like made him seem smaller, but like in real life Kevin Durand is built. Will Sasso, on the other hand, it isn't. You know, he's kind of a chunky guy. So I don't know why, I don't know how, I don't know how they interviewed for these or how they did this, but I think those two were horribly miscast. I think that they could have very easily just flipped them and played each other's roles and it would have been 10 times better. So that's my primary, really my only complaint about this. You know, like I said, they left some stuff out from the books that I really wish they would have put in. But a lot of stuff they actually improved upon. There is a specific relationship that you don't see coming immediately that kind of flourishes during the panic. And in the book, they don't really lead up to that. They just kind of like slam you with it. So the book kind of did that poorly, but the movie really changed on that. So other than that miscasting, in my mind, the movie was good. No major complaints that I can think of. Now, I think I rambled enough. I think I took the rambling portion here today. So I'm going to toss it over to Dave. What did you think of Clown in a Cornfield?
I super enjoyed it. I thought it was, this is the kind of movie that's fun to me. Because I can appreciate just a straight up horror movie, right? With some kills and what, I mean, to me, I don't have to go into every horror movie and have to overthink it. I will say, and again, I don't know if it's the same way in the book. There was a predictability about it, right? I knew, I kind of had my hunches what was going to be, you know, the end all of it, particularly when it got to one certain scene with an unveil. It's like I knew what was going to happen, but that didn't make it bad though. I still don't grasp this beginning horror, right? Because this, I mean, the movie had some kills and it had some, was it over the top? No, but there was some blood in it. I thought, again, I didn't know, right? I don't know anything about casting for roles or parts because I haven't read the book. But I thought everybody, this cast was excellent. Everything was completely believable. And nothing felt forced, right? Just legit felt like, you know, this group of kids in high school. And all the characters, it's like all the characters you believed what they were doing. It felt very, very real. Didn't feel hokey, right? It felt like this was real life circumstances that you see in all kinds of towns. particularly in small towns. It's just the age old, right? Kids in small towns, and there's things that happen, things that arise. There's issues with kids in small towns, and what are they? I'm trying not to give anything away, but there's issues that arise with small town mentality clashing with progressive minded kids in certain
Right.
ways, and kids that want to see the world, want to explore the world, have a bigger view of the world. They don't have that small town mentality, and they're stuck in a small town. Anyway, that being said, that I thought all the characters were very believable. The conflicts, and I don't necessarily mean the kill stuff. I'm just meant the certain aspects of butting of heads between characters, and felt very believable, right? You could completely see that happening in these scenarios, and the way people were acting, and everything else. I don't mean I don't you know again I don't find flaws with it. I thought it was, was it super scary? No. I guess that's why they have this quote unquote beginner horror label. People are trying to say, but does everything have to be super scary? Nah, not really. And I've gone into lots of movies who were supposed to be and didn't find them super scary. I've gone into movies that people have gone online and on social media and called the scariest movies they've seen all year. And I've watched it and I thought, what are they seeing about this that is so scary? Because it's like it. There's nothing, right? There's no jump scare, whatever. So I don't see that. I think those are just opinions. But I thought it was a fun movie. I thought it was a well-acted movie. It moved along. It didn't drag. It wasn't too long. The story was, completely interesting. I mean, all the way through, it never lost me, right? Did I kind of have the feel of where it was going? Yeah. But is that a bad thing? No, because a lot of movies do that. And we've said this in the past, right? Sometimes predictability, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You don't have to be unpredictable to have a good movie. Because sometimes when you try to be unpredictable, you just screw up, right? You screw up the storytelling. And I don't know. I thought it was a fun movie. Now, I will ask this. There are multiple books in this series. Did the movie leave the door open to pursue some of those books in the future, and some of the storylines that are pursued in future books?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Without spoilers, the end of this movie is for all intents and purposes how the first book ended.
Okay.
The lead up, the finish, and sort of the epilogue are effectively the same as the book. And there are three books right now. According to what I've read online, Adam is writing a fourth book. The second book, I think, is called Frendo Lives, and third book is called Cult of Frendo, I think. So there is definitely more material to be made, and I really hope to make the other ones because, to me, in my opinion, the first book is great, but the second and third book are even better. So I think that ideally they'll follow the same track, right? They'll continue to expand upon the universe, making more and more content, and it'd just be better. So. But yeah, ideally, yes, we'll have a second and a third, maybe.
Okay, so while the journey might have been slightly different, it kind of wound up in the same place.
Right.
Okay. And I've said this many times because a lot of times this is how my brain works. Frendo's totally toyetic and merchandise worthy. We need some stuff. I need some figures. Because he completely works and has that, we said this about hey, we said this about Thanksgiving. And totally got figures and stuff out of that, which kind of actually shocked me. I didn't expect it coming out of that movie, but so I feel comfortable that this movie you'll get something. I would think. I know I've seen. I think there are some shirts out there, but I could totally see some really fun action figures done of Frendo. And
I think so too.
I would again. I think it's in the trailer, so I would totally like to get. One of the Jack in the Box, the Frendo in a box little toys. That would be great. That would be so cool to have. So,
Absolutely.
yeah. So again, I thought it was a fun movie. You know what? Again, nothing groundbreaking, nothing genre shattering. But again, man, you can't go in a movie thinking you're going to make that because it's not going to work. You're not going to do it. You're going to fail. Anything that's genre shaping and shattering and you know, whatever, redirects the road. They don't go into it looking to do that. It just happens. It's just they make their movie and bam, that happens because it catches on. So I very much felt like they made the movie they wanted to make. And I thought it was enjoyable. I thought it was fun. And this is a very much one of those movies that for me fits right into that comfort movie thing where you could throw it on and rewatch it or have it on in the background while you're cooking or doing something else. And it's just it would be fun to, you know, to kind of have on and watch again and have on in that setting. You know, but this movie fits right, you know, as my love of kind of cheesy, weird ass 80s slasher horror type movies. To me, this kind of fits right in with those, with the feeling and the vibe. It works alongside some of those movies. And the reason I love those is, you know, if this fits right in there. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I definitely would like to see more. I would, I, but you know, I'm not gonna lie, because I do love gore and I love kills. I'd love to see them do more, and I would love to see them though kick up the ante a little more and let's throw some more blood and stuff in there. Let's do some more. They don't have to, you know, try to reshape horror, but I any movie, I'm always like, put more blood in there. I mean, I watched Terrifier 3 and I'm like, come on, more blood, more blood. And I'm all about it. So yeah, you know, do some more. Let's rate this thing and get out of here. Again, I thought it was a fun movie, but I think it was even just a little tick better than just that middle of the ground fun for me. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was really fun. I did really. I just thought it was an enjoyable watch. I can't complain about anything really. So I think I'm going to give it a 3.5 screams out of 5 because, I think I liked it a little more than that middle of the road 3. Some of the movies we've rated as 3. I think I'd go back and rewatch this and before I'd watch some of those. And this, I think this movie kind of movie fits my taste a little better. And again, if that makes me a beginner horror fan or a simplistic horror fan, then whatever, fuck you. So out of 5 screams, Ike, what are you rating it?
I'm going to rate it a 3.5 out of 5 as well. Like you said, it's just a tick better than being just your average around the mill. I think that they built a really great universe to kind of hopefully spawn off and do some more movies with the other books. Like I said, it was not a perfect adaptation, but it was still such an enjoyable movie, and I was so happy to see these characters come to life on the screen. But I don't know if I can fully justify giving it a straight 4 out of 5. So I think 3.5 out of 5 is a perfect way to give my love to this movie and to the hopefully ongoing franchise.
Right. We remember we rate this movie based on our enjoyability. That's all, because that's all we care about. Yeah, cinematography, blah blah blah, all that fits into our enjoyability to a degree. But that's all it's all about. It's if I watch the movie, it's like, did I enjoy it? Did I have a fun time? Did I, you know, did I like it? And again, the one word that that I always go back to is rewatchability, right? Is it a movie that I would revisit and think I would enjoy again? And I think this movie has that. But it's not so high up there that I'd be like, oh, I gotta immediately rewatch it. And you know, and but it was fun. I thought it was a fun movie. And again, you know, I hope they continue on. I hope it does well. I don't know what the budget was for this. But I hope that it draws well, sticks up there for a while, and is considered a success for them to warrant doing more. I know Shudder had a hand in this, so it'll be hitting AMC Plus Shudder. I'm sure when it's done with the video on demand run. So when it gets down to that, you know, being on Shudder, I'll rewatch it again. So because like I said, it was a fun movie. I think Like we discussed earlier, I know clowns work for me. Just clowns work. And I like the, I like this movie having a reasoning for the clown too, though, right? Because it's not just that, oh, it's just randomly a clown. It's there was a reasoning for it to be this character. So it worked for me. So, but like we said earlier, next episode we'll be reviewing Final Destination Bloodlines, a movie that we are both looking forward to. But we promise you, we are going to go into it open-minded. We're not just going to immediately gush on it. But you know what? Be warned. Final Destination movies are bloody, fun, kill-filled things, and man, that's right up my alley. I don't know, man. It's gonna be weird that a movie like this might make me shed a tear when I see Tony Todd on the screen. But this, I feel like there's just gonna be a whole range of emotions coming from this movie. But that's coming next episode. But we'd like to say thank you to our wives for supporting us and all that we do with this. And thank you to all the listeners and followers for your support as well, and sharing and following us on social media and everything else. Speaking of, be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform out there. All you got to do is look for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number two screams, all one word, and you will find us. It's easy to find. Our weird ass mugs are on pretty much everything. You'll see us. Give us a follow. We post lots of cool shit. A lot of the stuff that we have here in the episodes, but lots of other stuff. Get on there and give us some feedback and give us some engagement. We like those discussions on social media. So, Ike, before we close this out and get out of here, is there anything you want to add?
I'm sure a lot of other people have seen this, but man, what is up with that shit with Amazon and not doing our stuff and
No,
like
I sent you something. Did you not see this? Apparently, Amazon.
the tariffs,
Yeah, it says something to do with this from Funko has something to do with there. So, I'm literally seeing people online like everybody saying that they're what we're talking about is the Terrifier. What was it? Terrifier 3, Art versus Sienna. I don't know what you want to call it. Funko has a name for those movie scene type things, right? And it's like a two pack Funkos with a little scene thing. Lots of us, both of us included, had these things pre-ordered. Had them pre-ordered since point one when they went on sale. They were supposed to be filled this week as this drops, and like everything got canceled. But apparently, this is, and then lots of people are bitching about Amazon, and right, that's your initial thought. But apparently, it's not Amazon. Apparently, this is a Funko thing that because of some of the tariff things, I don't know. I guess they didn't produce them, couldn't produce them. I don't know. It's kind of vague. It says that they plan to hopefully revisit that at some point. It sounds like it right now they're not planning. They don't. There's not these immediate plans to make it. I don't know. It's very odd. So I don't know. I guess it looks like for now. I guess it looks like for now it's off the table, I guess, but they're hoping to get back to it. It's just weird. So how's why is this not is this impacting other Funkos as well? I don't know what to make
That's
of it.
that's what I was gonna say. I saw the what you said. I the whole like Funko, the whole tariff thing. I'm like, I mean, I 100% believe that. I believe that it's an issue. But like you said, I have not heard this for any other Funko release or anything else. So I'm wondering if like maybe this release just happened at a bad time or
Yeah, I
I don't
don't
know.
know. I mean, this is coming on a week when they just put up a new Terrifier 3 Art the Clown Funko for pre-sale. So what are we gonna pre-order this one and find out in the long run? It's not gonna I mean, I don't know. Is this impacting them as a general? Are they cutting back on the number they're doing? I mean, it's like they didn't get specific, so I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I hope it's not just impacting those lower level Funkos, right? Because I mean, obviously, let's be real. Terrifier 3 is not going to be one of their top selling per se, because they have a lot of big general wide appeal properties. So it's like I'm hoping if they don't have to scale back certain things, because yeah, some of these things are horror type things are going to get hit. With that, those are going to be the ones that are going to get trimmed a little bit. I mean, they're not going to fucking trim some of those big properties. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. It all got canceled. It's weird because it almost read like we hope We plan to revisit this at some point, but we don't know right now. We don't know when. So it's like, I don't know. I've seen some people say that their ship date from Amazon got switched to October. Mine didn't. Mine just got out and not canceled.
Same. Mine just got straight up canceled.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're hoping to have all this resolved and sorted out. But I don't know. I don't know. It's very peculiar. Very weird. And it is what it is, but it's frankly, you know, it's disappointing, right? I was really looking forward to this. I was really, because this would have been our first, you know, Sienna Funko Pop of any sorts.
Yeah.
Or Sienna figure of any sorts, right? There's supposedly some figures, a figure coming out of her, but this would have been anything we would have gotten outside of, well, I mean, this would have been our first non-art or non-Little Pale Girl of anything, right? I mean, everything's been art and then the one Little Pale Girl. This would have been our first thing outside that. So, I don't know. I guess if you're not a Funko fan or not a Terrifier 3 fan, none of this matters to you. You don't care, but it was a heartbreaking week for us, for those of us who are. And, so I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. It's a roller coaster of emotions right now.
It really is.
But hopefully we'll still get that, because it was a cool looking set, and I don't know. So hopefully we still get it at some point. But alas, the perils of collecting—that's what happens. So
it is that is the ultimate betrayal of collection. Is
that's right?
Shit happening.
That's right. I've had it happen before with different things you love, you pre-order, you're so excited for, and then it ends up getting canceled. Or you do try to back something on a, you know, whatever, a Kickstarter or this and that, and you're super excited for it, and it doesn't reach its goal, so it gets canceled. Those are heartbreaking. So, but I feel confident that maybe it'll at some point in time see the light of day.
I think so.
Here's hoping. So, all right, then. Once again, if you're a gatekeeper, fuck you. You know, we're going to slip one more in there. But until next episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.